Okay. Good morning, everyone. Rabbi Rather called me. He called me in the afternoon. He didn't call me at 4 o'clock in the morning. He called me in the afternoon. He's not feeling well, and he wasn't going to be able to give it off today. So I told him, what I told him was that he's been doing such an amazing job the past 2 weeks with so much alumnus and so much, like such a poor substitute. But he told me that he wasn't feeling well and just couldn't give it. So we'll try our best. And here we go. Today's Daf Tzadik, we're on Pei Tes Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Shnei Gittin, says the Mishnah, Shnei Gittin, Ushnei Ksuvos. A woman walks into Bezdin with two gets and two Ksuvos. And as Rashi points out, each Ksuva is dated before each get. Ksuva number one is dated before get number one, and Ksuva number two is dated before get number two, which means she married this guy, gave her a get, he gave her a Ksuva, gave her a get, then remarried her, gave her a new ksuva, gave her a new get. That's obviously what happened because the dates verify that. If that's true, then go v'shtei ksuvos. She collects twice. That's the only case in the Mishnah where she's going to collect twice. In every other case, she's not going to collect twice. So, for example, shtei ksuvos, she's got two ksuvos, the get echad, but only one get. So what's that? Why would somebody write two ksuvos? So we'll see in the Gemara, but we're only going to allow her to collect one. Is more? They're going to be dated differently. They're going to be dated differently. They certainly are dated differently. We're going to see in the Gemara about that one. The rest of them we're not even going to mention. Oh, or ksuva, one ksuva, ushne gittin, and two get. Meaning the guy remarried her, but the second time didn't give her a new ksuva. And the Mishnah is going to state a principle that whenever a man remarried a wife, the same woman, it was on al-das the first ksuva, which is why there's only one ksuva. Oh, or ksuva, the get, a ksuva and a get, and then he remarried her, and then omeisa, that he died. She has eidim, he died. So she's coming to collect twice, one as a gerusha and one as an almana. However, it's only one ksuva. Right? So what's the halacha? Eina gova ela achas. She only collects one time. Hashaha magarish es ishto, because if somebody divorces his wife, v'hechzira, and takes her back, Al manas ksuva harishona machzira. He takes her back. Al das the original ksuva, only one ksuva. So says the Gemara. E bayez bahai gavya. E bayez bahai gavya. In the case where she has two ksuvas but one get. Right. So I said, why would someone do that? And Rabbi Nun asked me, what about the dates? Right. So the Gemara is asking, she can collect from either one. So which one can she collect from? For whatever reason, we're going to see in a minute, why would somebody write two ksuvas for one get, for one person? So, which one can she collect from? Mistama, either one? Mistama, either one. So, Lema, Tehavit, Yofta, Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Let's say this is against the opinion of Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. The Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, because he said, Shneiks Shtaros, two Shtaros, Hayotzin Bezeh Achar Zeh, that one follows the other, meaning one's dated Rosh Chodesh Shvat and one's dated Rosh Chodesh Adar, two for the same loan. Rashi says that Zmano Shalzeh Kodem Lazeh Ushnehem Al Halava Achas, they're both on one loan, or Al Mecher Echad, for one sale. They're both the same thing. So the Mefarshim explained, it must be that the second one says it's the same thing as the first one. Otherwise, the guy walks into court with two loan documents, why can't he collect twice? So it must be that the second one mentions, by the way, this is just rewriting the first one. Must be that. Otherwise, why wouldn't he be able to collect twice? He's got two documents. So what does he say? He says, Bezeach hazeh, bitul sheni as a rishon, the second one nullifies the first one. And here, we're not saying that. The second ksuva nullifies the first ksuva. We're saying she can collect either one. Because if not, Rashi says, the Mishnah should have said, and the second ksuva is mevatel the first, or she can only collect from the second. The Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah said she can collect from either one. That can't be this opinion. This opinion says if you have two documents, the second one nullifies and subsumes the first one. So the Gemara says, not necessarily so fast. Why? Lavit Marallah. We learned on that. Amar of Papa. Umoda of Nachman. But Rav Nachman admitted that de ma'osif be dikla, if the second document added something, even a tree, if it added something, anything, then letosvos kasve. That's why he wrote a second one. He wrote a long document on selling you the field, and then he writes another one, and by the way, I'm also including the tree next door. That's why he wrote a second. Why would somebody write two? It must be because he's adding something, hachanami, here also, b'deosif la, he's adding something. So Rashi points out, now it's her choice. She can collect the first ksuva, which is smaller, but it's older, so it covers more lekuchos, right? Because it's earlier date. Or she can opt for the second ksuva, which is larger, but it covers less lekuchos. So each one has pros and cons. So it's her choice. I guess it'll depend on what the husband sold in the meantime. It's her choice. Just like, that's unlike right, so okay, that's exactly the point. What about Reb Nachman, where the second one subsumes the first one? That's where you added something new. So it's not a we give her a choice. So it's not a stira. Yeah, got a question? Okay, next. Tana Rabbanan, hotzi get v'ksuva umesa. If she comes into court with a get, first a ksuva, then a get, then she says the husband remarried me, didn't give me a new get, but umesa, but he died, so I'm entitled to two ksuvas, one as a gerusha, one as an almana. So im kodim get l'ksuva, if the get. Right. If the get predates the ksuva, then go with shnei ksuvos. Then she does get two, because it's two different marriages. But ksuva kodemet leget, ena gova el ksuva achas. You only get one. Why? Because same thing. Shamagaris as ishto. If somebody divorces his wife, hechzira, and he remarries her, almanas ksuva rishona hechzira. He remarries her aldas, the first. Ksuva. Okay? Next Mishnah. Katan she'itziu avav. If a katan gets married off by his father, we're talking about a male. Now there's no such halachic mechanism for this. Unlike a female, unlike a little girl, whose father has the right minatari to marry off, but the father did it anyway. There's nothing against it. There's nothing wrong with it. However, a katan has no das to make a kinyan. So any documents that were written when they were katanim, when he was a katan, it's really void, because he had no das to indebt himself to her to X, Y, and Z. Doesn't apply. Why is it a chov? It's a chus to be married, don't know. Right. So I don't know exactly. I don't know. Putting aside that question, I don't know. That's a good question. Like, how could he do this? But he did it. It's done. It's a done deal. We're not worrying about those details. We have other details. So it's a done deal. The father married off the son. Or, I'm sorry, ksuvasa kayemes, what happened? The minute he turns 13, now he comes home, now he stays married to this girl, this woman. Once his maisa bia, when he turns 13, that turns the marriage now into a full-fledged daraisa marriage, regardless of what happened earlier. And not only that, the ksuva now kicks in. Now it's fully obligated. Why? Shalmanas kein kaima. That's why he's coming home when he turns bar mitzvah to marry her, to stay married to her. I'll daf those documents. Similarly, ger shenes gaira ishto imo. If a man and a woman are both married to each other and they're both not Jewish, and they did give themselves certain obligations in the secular non-Jewish court, whatever equivalent dowry, whatever documents they did, prenup, whatever it is, whatever financial obligations this guy gave his wife, then the two of them become Jewish together. So ksuvasa kayemes, all those obligations now again apply. They still apply. In other words, we're assuming now that it's the same thing as ksuva. In other words, all the obligations are his. He owes her upon his death or divorce. He will give her X number of dollars. So all that applied now. Same thing. Why? Shamanas Kain Kaima. Because that's why he, on that understanding, they became Gerim. Just like on that understanding, he agreed to come home, the 13-year-old boy. Yeah.
What obligations did the
Goy have? So we're assuming it's the same as the Jew. We're assuming it's similar. Very similar.
And even the Jew, did he make a Kenyan?
Who? No, he didn't make a Kenyan. Right, it's very funny how this is working. How is this exactly working? Right, it's a big discussion in the Rishonim. How is this working? Right? As a matter of fact, the question is going to become even more clear in a minute when we see the Gemara, yeah? Right, the Rekiv Eger asked that question. What do you need this Mishnah for? What do you need this Mishnah for? Dina Mamanis? The Goyim also have Dina Mamanis. What do you need the Mishnah for? Right. So, to listen to the Gemara. Amar Huna, Lo Shanu Elamana Masayim. This is only true regarding mana and masayim. In other words, $200 or $100 if he's an almana. Aval tosvos, but any extras, that ain't law. That does not survive the geirus. That does not survive his becoming a bar mitzvah. Only the bare minimums he has to pay.
If the goy originally obligated less,
then maybe he has to still pay more. Tosvos asks, what kind of chiddush is that? Even without a ksuva, you got to pay the bare minimum. Pay the bare minimum no matter what, even if you don't have a ksuva. Right? So, top tells Im Tova, Im Kain, Maika Mashmalam Nasneez and Shalmanas Kain Kaima. Afilu Lokas of Lomayolam. Even if you never wrote a thing, Yeshla Ksuva. You have to write a ksuva.
No, but saying that even if he says, who's Tosvos in the original ksuva, there's no obligation for the Tosvos.
So then what is there an obligation for? But you don't have to write a ksuva for that.
No, but here you have a ksuva which says he owes 10,000.
And you only charge 200. And what if there would be no ksuva? He still owes 200. So what? Fine. So then, okay. So Tosfos answers. Listen to Vyesh Lomar. The Ashmein on Hecha Dinasa Besula. When the guy married the Gaya, she was a Besula, right? Af Agaf the Kishe Gadla Onis Gaira Kvar He Beula. She's not a Besula now. She's not a Besula now. They've been married for 10 years. Now they decided to become Jewish. Not a Besula. No. She's still entitled to the 200. Even though she's not a psula now. Why? It's like it's the beginning of the marriage. So she was a psula when we got married, but we were goyim then. So now she's a Jew, she's still entitled to the amount of a psula, even though she's not a psula. That's the chiddush, according to Tosfos. Which is wild if you think about that.
But isn't a goy katana considered to be a
bu'ula? It's not a katana.
Anybody.
I see what he said. A goy is always considered a bu'ula, is that true? She's always considered a nida, I thought.
Also a bu'ula, yeah.
She's considered a bu'ula.
So a gyores who converts other ages to bu'ula, other ages to bu'ula.
Right. That's a good question. So maybe she's considered that, but Lamaisa, he felt maybe she wasn't. So he's willing to obligate himself as if she wasn't. That's all.
In his eyes.
Yeah. In his eyes, exactly. In his eyes.
No, what? The minimum
right, it's a good question. I don't know. Okay. Rav Yehuda Amana, I feel Tosfos Yeshla. She's even entitled to the Tosfos. Even into the Tosfos, she's entitled. Why? Because again, like you said, she wrote again for $10,000. He wrote a two for $10,000. And it's more than 200. Why should she not be entitled? Just because the ship became Jews. Why not? However, he's wrong. We're going to see. We're going to prove him wrong. Meisvei, wait a minute. We have a brisa that says chidshu if upon becoming gerim or upon reaching bar mitzvah, notela chidshu he added new stuff. He added new things. You know, we're living Jews now. I know we have an old ksuva in the Goyisha courts, but listen, we're Jews now. I'll promise you X, Y, and Z over and above the bare minimum that she's entitled to. So the Gemara makes a diak. Chidshu to tell us masha chidshu. Chidshu in lo chidshu lo. If there was nothing new stated at the time of the Geirus, she's not entitled to anything extra. So the Gemara says, no, lo, don't say that. Lo ema af masha chidshu. She's even entitled to the chidush, and of course she's entitled to the Tosfos. So we got out of it that way, but now we're not going to have to get out of it because it's going to be black and white. V'halo tanahachi. But that's not how we learn somewhere else. It says chidshu. If upon becoming Geirim, they made new obligations, the husband made new obligations, then you know what? Natalis Macha Chidshu. She gets those new obligations. She's entitled. Lo Chidshu, if not, then this price is black and white. Besula Govim Asayim. A basula collects 200, not tosos. The almana, mana, and an almana gets only a mana. So your question still remains, how could there be a guy who's a basula? Okay? Anyway, you see it's in black and white, there is no tosos. Tiyufta diruf Yehuda. It's a tiyufta on Rav Yehuda. She's not entitled to the tosos, she's only entitled to the bare minimum. Now, Rav Yehuda, masnisan at ise. He made a mistake from our Mishnah. Why? Whosoever he thought ksuva kayemes. Akula, ksuva kayemes, akula, bil sakai. Like what you said, he thought that a ksuva goes on everything in the ksuva, the whole document. Not true. Velohi. Not true. A ikr ksuva kai. It only goes on the ikr ksuva, the bare minimum, 200 and 100. Okay. Hajun alach hakotsev ishto. Hajun alach hakotsev ishto. Hajun alach hakotsev ishto. New Perek now discusses the following thing. It was very common for a man to have more than one wife. It was also therefore common for a man to have sons from one wife and sons from another wife. Well, what happened was, they instituted what's called the ksuvas benin dichrin, a ksuva for the male children. Why? Because let's say wife number one is extremely wealthy, and she brings in a huge billion dollar dowry. Now what's going to happen? The husband now has wife number two with new children. Then the husband's going to die. When a man dies, the estate, everything he owns, all his assets are divided among his yarshim equally. So child from wife number one who brought in $1 million and child from wife number two who brought in no dollars, they're going to split each one, they're going to get $500,000. Wife number one's father, that's not fair, I don't want that to happen. Why should that happen? Why should the other wife's children inherit my stuff? It's not my grandson. Right? So to get out of that problem, to avoid that, they instituted a special ksuva called benin dichrin, which means dichr is the same thing as zachar, the dalet and the zayin switch. Benin dichrin, the sons of the male sons, because only male sons inherit, if there are male sons. Girls don't inherit at all. So they instituted that upon death, all the money, they would write up a document. I'm coming in with $1 million, therefore, if I should ever die, the million goes back to my sons. Similar. What? Oh, well, that's the machlokas. That's going to be machlokas today. What about when the husband dies? We're going to see in the Gemara, it's not a problem of causing any fighting between the brothers because it started out this way. Look, that wife was rich and my mother wasn't rich. So since it started out that way, there wasn't going to be any fighting. You're going against the dinim of Yerusha. You're going against the dinim of Yerusha. So the Gemara is going to say, tomorrow, the estate had to have at least one dinar that would satisfy dinim of Yerusha. In other words, let's say the ksuva number one, the ksuva's benin dichrin was $1 million. And for wife number two, it was 100,000. And the husband dies. And all he has in his estate is 1.1 million. There will not be rules of ksuvas benin dichrin because there's no Yerusha. They get $1 million, they get 100,000. There has to be an extra dollar in the estate to divide among all the children equally. That's Yerusha. And then we'll give out the ksuvas benin dichrin to respective families. That was a requirement. It's going to come today, it's going to come tomorrow. That will satisfy the dinim d'oraita of Yerusha. So we're not ochre those totally. And then the rest of it, we're going to get out. Okay? I think that's enough background. Then we can go. Here we go.
I thought her money goes back to her family.
It does. She has sons. It doesn't go back to her father. Her father's long dead.
Like that.
It's unrelated. That's unrelated. Right. But the husband's entitled to use that property. But look. Right. So it could be, this is part of the property. Maybe this is part of it. But normally, we're talking about, I think, cash, because that becomes part of the estate. We'll see. Everything's going to be in the Gemara. Misha hayinasu shtei nashim. The first few lines here is nak suvas bin indichman. Misha hayinasu shtei nashim. If someone's married to two women, umeis harishona kodemes lishnia, and wife number one dies before wife number two, Umeis. He dies. Harishona kodemes lishnia. wife number one comes before wife number two for payment of the standard ksuva. Why? She was married first. That debt accrued first. That debt gets paid first. That's so far that's pashat.
We have my focus on the kibushin of the wheel, right?
Yeah, about what?
If two people collect, one in the worst position. First of all, they say if you're in the worst position, you collect first.
Yeah.
Weaker.
Position. But doesn't apply here. Anymore. No. Now, the Yarshi Harishona, Kardman Liarshi Shnia. Let's say the husband died, and then before the estate was divvied up, the ksuvas were paid off, both wives died. So then the yarshim of wife number one come before the yarshim of wife number two. Now that's standard rules. We're not even going to discuss that in the Gemara. Here we go. Nasas harishona, if he marries wife number one, umesa, and she dies. Now, and there's a ksuvas b'din dichrin here, and then nasa shnia, now he marries wife number two, v'meis, and now he dies. So the wives died at different points. One died before the husband, one's alive when the husband died. So we're going to call that, she died after the husband. The Mishnah still says, hu shnia v'yarsha kodmin liyarshi harishona. The yarshim and the wife of the second marriage come before the wife of the first marriage. That sounds like, it doesn't mean what it sounds like. It sounds like we're ignoring ksuvas b'din dichrin. Because we're saying wife number two comes before wife number one. That's exactly not what we're saying. What we're saying is wife number two gets her basic ksuva, which is a different thing than ksuvas b'din dichrin. That ksuva she gets, why does she get it? Because that's a debt. It's a debt. The estate owes her money. That has to be paid before anything else. So it's like all debt has to be paid. You owe a guy $100, that's paid before Yerusha, that's paid before Ksuva, that's paid before Ksuva's been indifferent. So wife number two will give her 200 zuz, and we'll send her on her merry way. Now we will go back and pay wife number one's children the Ksuva's been indifferent, the full million. Right? Provided, we'll get to the details. So it sounds like we're not satisfying the dinim of wife number one. No, we really are. Just happens to be that the ksuva has to come first. The ksuva for wife number two has to come first. Says the Gemara, Midiktani harishona kodemes l'shnia, from the fact that it says that the first one comes before the second one, v'lo k'tani, and it doesn't say harishona yeshla v'hashnia ein la, and it doesn't say the first one gets something and the second one gets nothing. It doesn't say that. Michlal, di kadma shnia vitafsa. If the second one would have come and grabbed it away from the first one, Tvisa walks into her house and grabs all the stuff, would we take it away? It's mashma lo mafkida. We would not take it away. Shmamina, you see from here, balchov mu'uchar, a later debt, regular guy owes money. Shekadam the gava ma shegava, and he grabs what he wants to grab. Gava, he keeps it. It's a very controversial statement because it's exactly what a lien means. A lien means that you're protected. So how can a guy with a later date take away from an earlier balchov? If the owner, the original owner, would sell it to a third party, you could take that. You could undo that sale because you have a lien. How can this work? How does this work? So some say, only maybe there is no lien here. Maybe it's the lien's on metaltalim, which normally is no such thing. So different ways to get out of that. But we see that since we were not so explicit about the women. So wife number two can grab and keep wife number one, and so too a balchov. So too a balchov. So the Gemara says, where am I? Shmamina balchov mu'ocha shekata v'gova mashagova. No, la'ol. So no, we're going to reject that. La'ol amei malach mashagova lo gova. No, what she collected, you can't keep things like that. Why? There's a hierarchy. Ay uma kodemes. What does it mean? She's kodem. So the Gemara says, Legamri Katani. It means she is entirely Kodem. kidetnan, just like we learned, you know the entire likod, that means that your rights wipe out any other rights. We're going to give a great example for this. Kidetnan, bed kodem ubas. A son comes before a daughter in terms of Yerusha. Does a son come before a daughter? No. What that merely means is a son gets everything. If a son and a daughter are alive and a father dies and leaves a son and a daughter, the daughter collects zero. Everything is yarshin by the son. So to say the son comes before the daughter, it makes you think like, okay, the son gets his, and then the daughter gets. The daughter doesn't get anything. The word kodem there means your rights wipe out the next person. That's what it means. So to hear, wife number two wipes out any rights of wife number one. Meaning, she gets totally paid first. That's all it means.
If there's only money for one tsuba, wife number one will get everything, the other one will get nothing?
No, the other way around. Wife number two comes first. For the tsuba.
No, in the first case, at
least. Yes. Yes. Stummy, yes. Because, right? That's all it means. That's all it means. Now, ikadiyamri, others learned the exact opposite. Midalokatani im kadma shnia vitafsa, since the mission didn't go out of its way to say, but if the second wife grabbed it, she keeps, emotiyamiyada, we don't take it away, but we let her keep it. Michlal, what do you see from here? The I kadma shnia vitafsa, that if the second one would come and grab, mafkinan mine, we would take it away from her. Wouldn't let her keep it. Shma mina, what do you see from here? Balchov mu'ucher, a later balchov, shekadam v'gava ma shegava, and grab something from an earlier balchov. Lo gava, we don't let him keep that. Right? So Gemara says, lo'olam, it's no right. Lo'olam emalach ma shegava gava. Maybe she can, he can keep it. We're not sure about that. Aidi detana shnia v'yarsha kodmin v'yarsha rishona. Since we're going to say that the second wife comes before the first wife for purposes of the tzuva, so that she's out of the picture, and then we can pay off the tzuva's been in dechrin, tananami, so for just only for symmetry reasons, only for symmetry, for parallel purposes of having to memorize Mishnayos, we keep the same language, which says, tananami, harishona kodem eslashniya. That's all.
Why, in the same case of Mishnah, why did the yarshim of the second wife come before the yarshim of the first wife? I understand why the wife's tzuva gets paid.
We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to that in the Gemara. That question, I believe, is going to be answered in the Gemara. Now we get to the hard part. Nasa Tarishona. What do we say? If a man marries a wife number one, then she dies. Then he marries wife number two, then he dies. That was the case. So we said, wife number two gets her ksuva. And then once that's paid, wife number one will get her ksuva spitin dichrin.
The Yarshim
of wife number one, right. So the Gemara says as follows. Shma mina tlas. We learn from here three things. Shma mina, first of all, echas b'chayav, v'echas b'moso. It doesn't make a difference when the husband dies. It doesn't make a difference. Even though, right, echad b'chayav, echad b'moso, yesh lehem ksuvas b'nin dichrin, this will apply, v'lo chayshin en la'antzuyeh. And no brother, no child is going to be jealous or upset. Even though this can cause friction, if you think about it. Because the second wife lived longer than the husband. So they're really adjudicating different claims. If the husband died first and the two wives come, or they died also and now the children are not coming, nobody's jealous because this is what the mother brought. But here, we're ignoring the ksuvas bin dichrin of wife number two in favor of wife number one. That could potentially be a problem. It's not a problem. We're going to have in the bottom of this amud, there are going to be tanayim that argue on this. There are going to be tanayim that hold there's no ksuvas bin dichrin if this happens, if wife number one dies before the husband. There will be no ksuvas bin dichrin because it's going to cause fights. We're going to have that in Rabbi. We're going to say that in a few lines. There's going to be a machlokas about that. But from our Mishnah, it's obvious. From our Mishnah, Shema Minah, we could bring a Raya. Rav Ashi is going to say, this is not a Raya, and we'll explain why in a few minutes.
Every time there's a situation of multiple wives,
If the wives had money, they would do it. If the wives had money, they would do it.
Right.
Both, whoever wants to. But the first wife comes first. They want to protect their estate. This wife's father was a very wealthy man. He wanted this boy, so he offered $1 million. He doesn't want it to go to his second wife's kids. He wants it back on his side. So they wrote a ksuvas bin dichrin. Mimai, how do you know that this is true? Midiktani, because it says, Shnia v'yarsha kodmin liyarshe rishona. The second wife and the second heirs come before the first. What does that mean? Mitam hu dekodmi. They come first for purposes of stam tshuva, 200 zuz, which is a very small amount compared to what's really in the estate. Ha'ika shakli. But anything left over than that, it's going to be divided up, and then we're going to go to ksuvas benedichrin, and the first children are going to get the ksuvas benedichrin. So what do you see? That we do hold such a concept, which is going to be in Machlokas Tanaim in a few minutes. Ushma mina, we also learn, listen to this, ksuva nasis moser lechaverta. Remember I said that in order for ksuvas benedichrin to work, there has to be left over at least a dinar, at least a dollar in the estate, which will be divided in terms of Hilchas Yerusha. Once there's that dollar, then we can apply Ksuvas Benedichrin, because we're not uprooting Hilchas Yerusha Lagamri. That's what I said. Now the Gemara says, you see from the Mishnah, that the Ksuva, that wife number two will be getting, that will satisfy that extra dinner. You hear this? That Ksuva, that's being paid to wife number two, will satisfy the ksuva. That will satisfy the extra dollar that's necessary to be in the estate for ksuvas benedichrin to even kick in. Why? Mimai, how do you know? Because midelo katani, the Mishnah didn't say, im yesham moser dina. Didn't say there's an extra dina. So therefore, the ksuva that's being paid to wife number two, that counts. Why does that count? Because Rashi explains, when the husband dies, now all the brothers together have to pay all these debts. So first, they inherit whatever they have to pay as a debt. They owe Reuben $100, the father owed Shimon $100, the father owed wife number two ksuva. So they're paying off that ksuva because they're yarshim and they have to pay debt. So therefore, that ksuva money was inherited by all of them, at least a dinar. It's being paid to wife number two, and now we've satisfied that rule. Now, we can get ksuvas benedichrin. Yeah, in a chenani, they'll pay the debt also. They owe Reuben $100 and Shimon and Levi. No problem. But that ksuva will satisfy the rule that there has to be an extra dollar in the estate before ksuvas benedichrin can kick in. Mima, right? How do you know? It doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah about that dinar. And that's a retzah rule. We're going to have it in tomorrow's daf. So obviously, that ksuva will satisfy that debt. We're going to reject that one also. Ushma mina, and rule number three, ksuvas benedichrin, that a ksuvas benedichrin lo tarfi mi mishabde, cannot be collected from indebted property. Meaning, you can't take that away from, you can't collect your ksuvas benedichrin from property that's already been sold or leaned. The e salkadaita tarfi mi mishabde, because if you could, lacy, listen to this, lacy b'nei rishona, they can go to the wife of, they can go to lacy b'nei rishona, the children of wife number one can go, the litrafe livnei shnia. Go to wife number two's kids and say, listen, that ksuva is really ours. And since they can't do that, obviously, indebted, leaned property is off limits. So, says Maskeflor Vashi, Mimai, who said everything, the third one we're going to accept, the first two we're going to reject. Mimai, Dilma, maybe. Achas b'chayev, achas b'mozo, ein lehem ksuvas benedichrin. Maybe that, what we said before, which is going to be Machlokas Tanayim, that if they die at different times, maybe there is no ksuvas benedichrin. Maybe there is no ksuvas benedichrin. Umay kodmin. And what does it mean they come first? What does that mean they come first? We said a man, they come first to get rid of them. Now what does it mean? So now we're saying all it means is kodmin linachla. All it means is they come first in inheritance, meaning their mother's ksuva has precedence over the first mother's ksuva. What should that be? What should that be? Yeah, I don't know why that should be. But why should that be? I'm not sure. Why should the second wife's ksuva come first? Right? What it means is that the second wife's ksuva comes before, not before the first wife's ksuva, before the other Yerusha, the rest of the Yerusha. First, all ksuvas have to be paid. All debt has to be paid. Then we'll divvy up the rest. That's all it means. That's the new ksuvas benedichrin. Then why are they called Yorshei Rishona? If all we're talking about is Stam Yerusha, and we have to pay debt first, and whatever's left will be divided, why are we calling them Yorshei Rishona? Which Yorshei Rishona means the Yorshei of the first wife, which implies Ksuvah's been indifferent, because the only way a wife can, a mother can give, leave an inheritance, is Ksuvah's been indifferent. If we're talking about Stam Yerusha of the father, why are you calling them Yorshei Rishona? Implying that the mother's Yorshim. So the Gemara says, you're right. Don't get so hung up on that. Only for parallel reasons. I did Tani Shni of Yarsha. Since it says the second one, Tana Nami Liyarsha Rishona. It says the first one. Enachanami, they're only inheriting as sons, not as sons of a mother. And the second point, Udika Marta, Ksuva Nasis Mosul Chevrta. The Ksuva acts as that extra dinar to allow Ksuva's been indifferent to even kick in. Mimai, who said, Dilma Lola Mamalach Eng Suvanasis Mosul Chevrta. That's not true. We also raised an eyebrow when we heard that the first time. That ksuva satisfies. That's not true. How can it work here? The hacha who d'ikka mosa dinar. Here there was an extra dollar. Rashi says. So why did the Mishnah say it? We said 10 lines ago that by the fact that the Mishnah didn't say it, there must be it wasn't there. So Rashi says unbelievable. Rashi says we're gonna say it in tomorrow's daf that you need that rule. V'tarti zim the lower two. How many times have to say that rule? Says Rashi. How many times there will have to be said? We're going to say it tomorrow. But wouldn't you say it first today? Right? We're going to say it tomorrow that you have to have an extra dinar, so why do I have to repeat myself today? So since it's not mentioned, doesn't mean it's not true. It was true. Okay, now we get to the Machlokas Tanoim about when the dying takes place. If Ksuvah's being different, could even ever kick in. Fine. V'achas b'chaya, v'achas b'moso. If one dies before the husband and one dies after the husband, really tanoihi. That's a machlokas tanoim. Titanya, meisu echad b'chaya, echad b'moso. If one dies before the husband, one dies after the husband, benanas omer, benanas says, yicholam b'nei harishon alom alivnei shnia, the first yarshim can say to the second ones, b'ni b'alas chovatem, you guys are, you owe a debt, I mean, we owe you money, we owe you the ksuva of your mother. So tulu ksuvas imchem, take it, vitsu and go. That's it. And we're going to get the rest of the estate because that whole million is ours. So it's been different. Rabbi Akiva Omar, Rabbi Akiva says no. Kfar kofta nachla malufne bnei harishona v'lofna lufne bnei shnia. They lost the ksuvas bnei different by virtue of the fact that their mother died first. They lost it. What?
Why?
Why?
So it only works if the...
It only works if the husband dies first. Right. Right. To prevent fighting. Or there won't be a tzuvah d'oraisa, or there won't be yorshim d'oraisa. All these reasons.
But the mother's family then loses... Kuido.
They shouldn't give a big tzuvah then. They shouldn't give a big dowry. Yeah?
It
only works if the husband dies first.
Exactly.
Right. That's exactly. My what's this machlokas about? The marsavar achas b'chayev achas b'moso yeshlem ksuvas ben indichron. Bananas holds that if they die at different times, there is ksuvas ben indichron. Umarsavar achas b'chayev achas b'moso yeshlem ksuvas ben indichron. No ksuvas ben indichron. Omar Rabba, Rabba said, Ashka Chesinu, Le Rabban and Debe Rav. I was sitting over there in the yeshiva, the Yasfi, we were sitting, the Karmi, and we said, the Kuliyama, no, Achaz Mechayev, Achaz Moses, Yeshua, Ksuvah's been indifferent. No, Rabbi Kiva doesn't say that. Like everyone's saying over here, why should that be? It's not fair. So what are they arguing about? Vacha, Ksuvah, Nas is Moses, Lechever, Tahu. Whether the Ksuvah paid to second wife can serve as the extra money. That was the Machlokes. Everyone holds ksuva's ben indichron will apply no matter when the wife dies. The only question was, Rabbi Akiva said, that ksuva that you're paying wife number two can't be the extra money. And also, v'hu adin lebal chov. Let's say we pay Reuven $100. Can that $100 payment be the extra? Because I said before, the Yarshim inherited altogether? No. That's what we're arguing about, kamiflagi. Ma'asav ar ksuva na'asas mosa l'chavrita. But Benana said, of course that could work. V'hu adin lebal chov. And even a stam lebal chov. Umar Sarah and Rabbi Akiva said, oh, in Ksuva Nas is Moshe L'Chevrata, it does not work. V'hu Adin L'Balchov, doesn't work for Balchov either. V'amin Alehu, and I said, says Rabba, Ana B'Balchov Kuliyama Lo Pligi. No, by Balchov, nobody argues on that. Nobody argues on that. You know why? Because all the boys are paying off Reuven $100. Of course that can act as the extra money because it's going out of the estate. But the high Moser, keep pleading. When do they argue? Biksuva, by Biksuva. Rashi says, what do they pay? Because the second brothers are getting something. They're not paying something, they're getting money. How can getting money be a payment? That doesn't make any sense. We know it's a payment because it's going out of the whole estate, going to them. That doesn't look like a payment at all. So that doesn't work. That was the whole machlokas. Everyone holds clues when they're going to pause no matter what. Maskev lor b'yosef, ihachif, that's all true. Then Rabbi Akiva Omer, kvar kafsa nachla. Then Rabbi Akiva says, they lost the Yerusha. That implies they always lose the Yerusha. That's not what he should have said. He should have said, in Yesh Mosa, dinar b'boyele. Yet, if there's an extra dinar, then this clue has been indifferent. What is this extra money? Rabbi Akiva didn't say that. Rabbi Akiva said that they lose the ksuva, they lose the Yerusha. That must mean he holds there's no ksuva has been indifferent in such a case, which is what he does hold. El Amar of Yosef, you're right. Bachas b'chaya, bachas b'mosal k'mifligi. That's what they're arguing about. Whether if they die at different times. V'hai tanoi ki hai tanoi. And it's another machlokas tanoim. The Tanya, nasas harishona u'mesa. If someone marries wife number one and she dies, nasas hashnia. Then he marries wife number two, u'mes hu, and he dies. Bon b'neha shalzu lachar misa. The sons come after death. V'nolun k'suvas iman. And they get their k'suva. Reb Shimon Omer, im yesh moser dina, if there's an extra dollar, elu not l'ksuvaz iman, ve'elu not l'ksuvaz iman, v'yim lav, and if not, chalkin b'shav, to divide it evenly. So again, my la b'akam iflagi, what's this machalopis about? The marsav, var achas b'chayev, achas b'moser, yesh l'ksuvaz ben indichman. One holds, Reb Shimon holds, this ksuvaz ben indichman. You get your ksuva, and then we'll get ours, we'll get our ksuvaz ben indichman. U'marsav, var achas b'chayev, achas b'moser, ein lehem ksuvaz ben indichman. And the other one holds, Tanakama holds, no, there's no such thing. So the Gemara says, "Lo, doesn't have to necessarily be about that." Really, everyone can hold that there is ksuvas ben indichrin. For Hacha, what they're arguing about over here, bedinar mikarkoi kamifliki. Can that extra dinar that we said has to be in the estate before ksuvas ben indichrin can kick in? Does that have to be karka, or can that even be metaltolin? Mar savar mikarkoi in metaltoi lo. Tanakama held, it has to be from karka. This case, there was no karka. No karka, no dinar. No dinar, no ksuvas ben indichrin. Umar savar afilu mitaltali. It can even come from mitaltalin. We're going to reject that and give an alternative pshat. And then tomorrow's daf is more about ksuvas ben indichrin. So I'm not sure how we come down on this halacha. It doesn't really sit well with us that ksuvas ben indichrin should only apply if the husband dies first. The theory behind it is because we don't want to have fights in the family. The question is, would it really be a fight if you know, like the Gemara started off on Tzadik Amid Beis on the top? Is it really going to be a fight if you know this is the story coming in? You know your father married two women from different statuses and they have different assets, so you know. So why should that be cause for fighting? But Bikiva said doesn't say that. Bikiva argues. So I'm not sure how we come down the halacha, but all right, we'll stop here. And everybody have a very good Shabbos.